Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take your stack of sources and distill them into the most important nuggets of knowledge and insight.
That's right.
Today, we're pulling back the curtain on a global firm that quietly, yet profoundly, shapes how businesses navigate everything from, say, devastating cyber attacks to the pensions of their employees.
Mm-hmm. It's a company that operates largely behind the scenes, you know, yet it touches nearly every facet of the modern economy.
We're talking about Aon Plc, which trades on the NYSE under the ticker AON.
And this isn't just about the raw financial numbers you might find in a quarterly report. It's really about understanding a truly critical player in the deeply interconnected world of risk, retirement, and health solutions.
Right.
Aon isn't just selling insurance products. They're selling assurance, expertise, and I think a profound ability to anticipate and navigate complexity. They help businesses not just survive, but really thrive in what's a constantly shifting landscape.
Absolutely. You've provided us with a comprehensive investment research analysis on Aon, and our mission today is pretty clear. We want to extract the most important insights from that material, cutting through the complexity to give you a crystal clear, well-informed perspective.
Exactly. We'll dissect its unique business model, the intense competitive landscape it navigates.
Its underlying financial health, those bold strategic moves defining its future, and even how the market currently values it.
Yeah.
We want you to walk away not just knowing what Aon does, but truly understanding why it matters, what makes it such a powerhouse, and importantly, the very real challenges it faces. So let's embark on this deep dive and unpack it all. Okay, let's kick things off by really getting to grips with what Aon is and how it operates globally. We know it's a professional services firm legally based in Dublin, Ireland, with its main operational headquarters in London.
Correct.
But the core of its identity seems to revolve around something called the Aon United strategy. What exactly does that mean, and why is it so central to their whole approach?
That's a crucial starting point. What's really fascinating about Aon's positioning is its deliberate strategy to address two colossal intertwined challenges that, well, nearly all modern businesses wrestle with.
HR.
Managing escalating risks in every dimension, and optimizing their human capital, in other words, their people. The Aon United strategy isn't just corporate speak. It represents a fundamental shift in how they deliver value to clients.
Okay.
Historically, a client might approach different departments for, say, property insurance or employee benefits, often feeling like they're dealing with disconnected silos.
Right. I can see that.
Aon United is about breaking down those internal walls. It's leveraging their integrated global capabilities across more than 120 countries, bringing a holistic perspective to complex client problems.
So it's about connecting those dots for clients, seeing the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a tangible example of how this integrated model works in practice rather than just, you know, in theory?
Absolutely. Imagine a large multinational client dealing with a major supply chain disruption. This could be triggered by a significant climate-related event. Perhaps a hurricane devastates a critical manufacturing hub in Asia.
Okay.
On one hand, that's a classic risk capital issue. Property damage, business interruption, potential liability. But immediately, it creates a profound human capital challenge.
Right. The people involved.
Exactly. How do you ensure the safety and well-being of employees in that affected region? How do you manage benefits, maintain business continuity, or even temporarily relocate staff? A traditional brokerage might treat these as two entirely separate problems requiring separate consultations.
Mm-hmm.
An Aon United team, however, is designed to bring integrated advice, seeing these as deeply interconnected issues that demand a coordinated, comprehensive solution. They don't just solve the immediate problem, they anticipate the cascade of related problems.
That paints a much clearer picture. It sounds like this integrative model isn't just a convenience, it's also a significant competitive advantage for Aon. But why does this matter so much for us, the listener, and how does it solidify Aon's competitive moat?
It matters because Aon is positioning itself as an indispensable partner, not just a vendor. This integrated model helps clients navigate the monumental megatrends shaping our world today. Things like rapid technological shifts, evolving geopolitical landscapes, increasing climate volatility, and profound changes in the global workforce.
Right.
By offering this comprehensive, interconnected approach, Aon provides a level of clarity and confidence that is incredibly valuable to C-suite decision makers. Crucially, it transforms client relationships from transactional to strategic partnerships.
Good. Deeper relationships.
Exactly. This, in turn, significantly increases what we call switching costs. Once a client integrates Aon's solutions deeply into their core operations, changing providers means not just finding a new broker, but potentially disentangling deeply integrated systems, migrating extensive data, and rebuilding trust with an entirely new team.
That sounds like a huge headache.
It's a massive, expensive, and disruptive undertaking, and it truly solidifies Aon's competitive moat against rivals.
Fascinating. So Aon United is really about being embedded. With that integrated philosophy as our compass, let's now chart the specific territories of expertise that make up Aon's global footprint. Let's start with their largest and most established segment, risk capital. What exactly falls under this umbrella?
The risk capital segment is truly Aon's bedrock. It's where they focus on quantifying and managing risk volatility to help businesses unlock capital and ultimately drive growth. It's broadly divided into two major areas, commercial risk solutions and reinsurance solutions.
Let's start with commercial risk solutions. What exactly is Aon's role here, and who are their primary clients?
In commercial risk solutions, Aon acts as both an advisor and an agent. They help a vast array of clients, everything from small and mid-sized businesses right up to massive multinational corporations, secure insurance coverage across an incredibly broad spectrum of risks.
So the standard stuff like property, casualty.
Yeah, that includes the more traditional areas most people think of, like property and casualty insurance, but also highly specialized fields like professional liability, directors and officers liability, and even, you know, esoteric risks specific to niche industries.
Okay.
And here's where it gets really interesting. Aon places a strong emphasis on what they call specialty lines. Think rapidly evolving cyber risk, complex climate risk, and transaction solutions for mergers and acquisitions.
Right, things that need deep expertise.
Precisely. These aren't off-the-shelf policies. They demand incredibly deep niche expertise to assess, quantify, and place, making Aon's specialist knowledge absolutely crucial for their clients.
So it's clearly more than just finding an insurance policy. It's about unparalleled expertise in complex emerging risks.
Mm-hmm.
But do they offer anything beyond traditional brokerage services in this segment?
They absolutely do. Beyond just connecting clients with insurers, Aon provides global risk consulting and specialized captive management services.
Captive management, what's that exactly?
Well, it involves helping large corporations establish and manage their own insurance companies.
Interesting.
Yeah, it can be a sophisticated way for these businesses to retain certain risks internally, gain greater control over their insurance programs, and potentially achieve cost efficiencies by directly accessing reinsurance markets. It adds another powerful layer of value that goes far beyond simply brokering a deal.
And this segment is pretty significant revenue-wise.
Very. This segment, for example, generated an impressive $7,185 million in revenues in fiscal year 2023. Really underscores its scale and importance to Aon.
That's a significant number indeed. Now, shifting to the other side of risk capital, reinsurance solutions. Many of our listeners might not be as familiar with reinsurance. How does Aon play a role in that world?
Right. Reinsurance is often described as insurance for insurance companies. Aon is a global leader in the specialized space, acting as a broker for those primary insurers.
So when an insurance company wants to offload some risk.
Exactly. When an insurance company wants to cede or transfer parts of its own risk portfolio to another carrier, Aon facilitates that complex transaction. And why do insurers do this? Well, it helps them manage their own capital more effectively, smooth out earnings volatility by offloading larger catastrophic risks, and ultimately allows them to underwrite more policies than they might otherwise be able to safely hold on their own books.
So they're essentially brokering the risk of risk, if you will.
That's a good way to put it.
What specific types of reinsurance do they deal with, and how do they access broader capital for this?
They primarily handle two types. First, treaty reinsurance, which is a bulk deal covering entire portfolios of policies. Think of it like insuring a whole block of homes.
Right.
Second, facultative reinsurance, which covers individual, specific, and often very large or unique risks. For example, insuring a single massive satellite launch might be a facultative placement. Aon also has Aon Securities, which is part of this segment. This group connects clients, the insurers, to alternative capital markets via instruments like catastrophe bonds and other insurance-linked securities, or ILS.
Cat bonds, right. We hear about those after big storms.
Exactly. These are financial instruments that allow investors to take on insurance risk in exchange for potential returns. It provides non-traditional sources of risk capital, which is becoming increasingly vital in a world facing more frequent and severe catastrophic events. And this reinsurance solutions segment, it contributed $2,106 million in revenues in fiscal year 2023. Still a very substantial piece.
Okay, from the very tangible and financial world of risk, let's pivot to the equally critical area of human capital. This seems like a completely different side of the business. Can you give us an overview for this segment?
You're right. It's different, but equally strategic. Very much part of that Aon United idea. The human capital segment is entirely focused on helping clients manage their people-related challenges. This spans a vast range of services, from health and employee benefits to retirement planning and broader talent strategies. It's broken down into health solutions and wealth solutions.
Let's start with health solutions. What services do they provide here, and what value do they bring to clients?
In health solutions, Aon offers comprehensive consulting and brokerage services for employee benefits. This includes everything from designing and managing complex health and welfare plans to developing robust workplace well-being programs and providing sophisticated human capital analytics.
So helping companies manage healthcare costs, which is always a big one.
Absolutely. They essentially act as trusted advisors, helping employers navigate the incredibly complex and often costly landscape of employee healthcare. The value proposition here is immense. They advise employers on designing and managing benefit programs that can mitigate rising healthcare costs, which is, as you say, a perennial concern.
But it's more than just cost, right?
Oh, definitely. Beyond cost savings, it's about strategically attracting and retaining top talent, and crucially, improving overall workforce health and productivity. It's a critical element in an employer's overall value proposition to its employees, making Aon's expertise truly invaluable. This segment generated $2,308 million in revenues in fiscal year 2023.
And the other side of human capital is wealth solutions. What do they focus on in this area, particularly regarding retirement?
Wealth Solutions is primarily centered on retirement and investment consulting. Aon helps clients manage their complex pension obligations through a suite of actuarial services, plan design, and meticulous administration. This is particularly crucial for companies with those older defined benefit pension plans, ensuring they can meet their long-term commitments to employees.
Do they also advise on the investments themselves beyond just the plan design and admin?
Yes, their investment consulting practice is a significant part of this. They provide strategic investment consulting to institutional investors, guiding them on developing and maintaining robust investment programs for various plan types, including both defined benefit and defined contribution plans, like 401ks.
So helping companies manage the money funding employees' futures.
Precisely. They're helping companies strategically manage the vast sums of money that fund their employees' future security. This segment contributed $1,501 million in revenues in fiscal year 2023.
That's a comprehensive breakdown of Aon's operational segments, really illustrating the breadth of their Aon United approach. But before we move on, I'm curious, with such diverse services, how predictable are these revenue streams? And does their global footprint also contribute to that stability?
Those are excellent questions, and they highlight a core strength of Aon's business model: the high quality and predictability of its revenue. Their core brokerage and consulting services generate largely recurring revenue.
So it's not just one-off deals?
Not at all. This isn't one-off sales. It's supported by multi-year client relationships and remarkably high client retention rates, which average over 95% across their entire portfolio.
Over 95%. Wow.
Think about that for a moment. Over 95% of their clients choose to renew their services year after year. This creates an incredibly stable revenue foundation that is inherently resilient, even against short-term economic shocks. It's a powerful indicator of deep client satisfaction and the embedded, indispensable nature of their services.
And the geographic spread, does that also play a significant role in mitigating risk?
Absolutely. It's a vital component of their stability. Aon's revenue is highly diversified geographically. For instance, in 2023, the United States accounted for about $6 billion.
The biggest chunk.
Right. Then their EMEA region, that's Europe, Middle East, and Africa, brought in nearly $4 billion. The Pacific region, around $1.5 billion. Latin America, nearly $1 billion. And Canada, over $750 million.
It's quite spread out.
Exactly. This wide geographic distribution is a huge strategic advantage. It naturally mitigates risk from regional economic downturns, meaning a slump in one part of the world isn't likely to derail the entire company's performance. It further solidifies that high-quality, stable revenue base we just discussed, making Aon less susceptible to concentrated regional volatility.
So we've seen how Aon structures its incredibly diverse operations and delivers value through that Aon United philosophy. But now let's zoom out and consider the broader industry. What does the market structure of global insurance brokerage and risk management actually look like? Is it a sprawling, fragmented market or something more concentrated?
What's truly striking here is that it's far from a sprawling free-for-all. The global insurance brokerage and risk management industry, particularly for large corporate clients with complex needs, is characterized as a highly concentrated oligopoly.
Oligopoly, meaning just a few big players dominate.
Precisely. We're talking about a market dominated by a very small number of powerful players.
And who are these industry titans? You know, Aon is one of them.
Indeed. The traditional big three have historically been Marsh McLennan, MMC, Aon, AON, and Willis Towers Watson, WTW. However, in recent years, Arthur J. Gallagher & Co., AJG, has undeniably emerged as a formidable fourth competitor.
Gallagher, right? They seem to be acquiring a lot.
They are known particularly for that aggressive and strategic acquisition strategy. So, while you might still hear big three in some circles, it's increasingly more accurate to think of these four dominant firms as shaping the landscape.
That level of concentration immediately suggests significant barriers to entry. What makes it so incredibly difficult for new companies to break into this market and challenge the incumbents?
Oh, the barriers are immense, forged and built over decades. A new entrant would need to replicate a truly global service network spanning numerous countries, cultivate incredibly deep and specialized expertise across countless niche risk areas.
Which takes time and talent.
Exactly. Plus, gain extensive access and influence within the world's myriad insurance and reinsurance markets, and develop state-of-the-art data analytics capabilities to offer competitive insights. These aren't things you build overnight, nor are they cheap. This entrenched position gives the incumbents, like Aon, significant pricing power, allows them to maintain high levels of profitability, and creates a durable competitive advantage that is incredibly hard to dismantle.
Clearly a tough market to crack. Let's shift our focus to growth. What are the key drivers and underlying trends fueling growth in this substantial industry?
Well, the global insurance brokerage market is not only substantial, but also projected for robust growth over the coming decade. It's estimated at approximately $314 billion in 2024,
Wow.
and forecasts confidently predict it will reach nearly $758 billion by 2034. That implies an impressive compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, which is the average annual growth rate over a specified period of about 9.2%.
9.2% CAGR. That's more than doubling in a decade. What are the primary trends driving that kind of sustained growth?
There are several powerful tailwinds at play. First, and perhaps most importantly, is increasing risk complexity. The world is just more volatile than ever.
Geopolitics, climate, cyber.
Right. We're seeing geopolitical instability, more frequent and severe climate-related events, and increasingly sophisticated cyber threats. Businesses need advanced risk management advice and solutions more than ever before. Second, there's digital transformation.
Technology's role.
Yes. Technology, data analytics, and artificial intelligence are not just buzzwords here. They're fundamentally enhancing risk modeling capabilities, personalizing client service, and making placement processes far more efficient. Third, there's a growing demand for specialization.
Tailored solution.
Exactly. Clients aren't looking for generic insurance. They require tailored, bespoke solutions for highly specific and emerging risks like cyber liability, intellectual property protection, or complex environmental risk. And finally, significant growth in emerging markets.
Asia Pacific, Latin America.
Right. As insurance penetration rises in rapidly developing regions like those, it offers substantial long-term opportunities for global brokers like Aon.
So, a lot of powerful macro trends are providing strong tailwinds for growth. But are there any cyclical headwinds that the industry, and Aon specifically, has to contend with?
Absolutely. The industry is inherently sensitive to the property and casualty P&C insurance market cycle.
The hard and soft markets.
Exactly. During hard markets, when premiums are rising, maybe due to increased claims or reduced capacity from insurers, brokers generally benefit because their commission-based revenues go up.
Makes sense.
Conversely, soft markets where premiums are falling, typically due to increased competition among insurers, can create significant headwinds for broker revenue growth.
Oh, where are we now, roughly?
Aon's recent market commentary indicates that mid-2025 conditions are generally becoming more buyer-friendly, with some softening in certain lines. However, they caution that this trend is potentially fragile.
Meaning it could flip back quickly.
Precisely. It could quickly reverse in the face of large loss events or shifts in insurer risk appetite. So it's a constantly shifting landscape they're operating within.
That's a crucial point, a nuanced picture of growth. Now, let's put Aon into direct comparison. How does it stack up against its fierce competitors in this concentrated landscape? And what really differentiates its competitive positioning?
Well, Aon is firmly positioned as the second largest global insurance broker by both market capitalization and revenue, right behind Marsh McLennan. But it's an intensely competitive environment.
Not just on price, I assume.
No, definitely not. These firms aren't just competing on price. They're fiercely vying for top talent, for cutting-edge technology platforms, and for the ability to deliver truly differentiated insights and innovative solutions to their demanding corporate clients. It's really a battle of expertise and efficiency.
And what do the hard numbers tell us when we compare Aon directly to its peers, like Marsh & McLennan, Arthur J. Gallagher, and Willis Towers Watson? Looking at some key metrics, what stands out?
Okay, if we look at some mid to late 2025 data, Aon had a market cap around $78.8 billion and LTM, that's last 12 months revenue, of $15.7 billion.
And Marsh McLennan, the biggest.
MMC, the current largest player, was at about $102.1 billion market cap and $24.5 billion LTM revenue. Arthur J. Gallagher, that fast-growing competitor, had a market cap of $75.5 billion and LTM revenue of $12.5 billion.
Similar revenue to Aon, but smaller market cap than MMC.
Right. And Willis Towers Watson, which has gone through significant changes recently, was at $32.2 billion market cap and $9.9 billion LTM revenue.
Those are the top line numbers for scale.
Mm-hmm.
But what about profitability and efficiency, which often reveal the true strength of a business model? What stands out there for Aon?
Here's where it gets really interesting and highlights a key takeaway for Aon. Aon's net margin was 15.5%, very close to Marsh McLennan's 16.0%, and comfortably better than Gallagher's 14.2%.
Nice solid margins.
But the standout metric, and something truly exceptional, is Aon's return on equity, or ROE. It was an astonishing 50.9%.
50% ROE, that's huge.
It is. This isn't just a number. It means Aon is remarkably adept at generating profits from its shareholders' capital. It suggests a highly efficient, perhaps asset-light, business model that effectively leverages its intangible assets like expertise and data.
How does that compare to the others?
It significantly outpaces its peers. Marsh McLennan was at 28.4%, Arthur J. Gallagher at 9.5%, and Willis Towers Watson was struggling at 1.7%.
Wow.
That extremely high ROE for Aon points to superior efficiency in generating profit from shareholder equity. So while Marsh McLennan leads in overall scale, Aon clearly demonstrates remarkable profitability and capital efficiency. Meanwhile, AJG shows strong growth through its aggressive acquisition strategy, and WTW's metrics have lagged, partly due to that post-merger disruption.
Those profitability numbers for Aon are certainly impressive, especially that ROE. Let's delve deeper into their financial story, starting with how they grow their top line. How has Aon achieved its revenue growth, and what's the crucial distinction between organic and inorganic growth in their context?
Right. Aon's revenue growth is truly a tale of two powerful engines, organic and inorganic. Organic growth measures how much the existing business grows year over year, excluding the impact of acquisitions, divestitures, or currency fluctuations. It's the pure underlying strength of their core operations.
And how have they done there?
Aon has been remarkably consistent here, delivering mid-single-digit organic revenue growth pretty reliably. Even during the pandemic-affected year of 2020, they managed 1% growth, then saw a strong rebound to 9% in 2021, followed by 6% in 2022, 7% in 2023, and another solid 6% in 2024.
That consistency, especially across various economic cycles, really speaks volumes, doesn't it? What does that signal about the company's fundamental health and the stickiness of its client relationships?
It signals profound underlying strength. This consistent organic growth reflects strong client retention. Remember that 95% plus figure we discussed? Plus their ability to continually win new business and the resilience of their core brokerage and consulting services. It's a testament to the embedded nature of their client relationships, where their services are seen as indispensable.
Okay, so solid organic growth. What about the other engine? inorganic.
Now, on the inorganic growth side, strategic acquisitions have played a vital role in significantly boosting their total reported revenue. The most substantial recent impact came from the late 2023 acquisition of NFP.
NFP, yeah. We'll come back to that.
Right. This was a primary driver behind a significant 17% increase in total reported revenue for 2024. This clearly demonstrates Aon's willingness and capability to use large-scale mergers and acquisitions for targeted market acceleration when the right opportunity arises, complementing their steady organic expansion.
So consistent organic growth complemented by these impactful strategic inorganic boosts. That leads us seamlessly to profitability and margin trends. How has Aon been performing on that front, and what's driving these improvements?
Aon has an impressive and well-documented track record of expanding its profitability. Their adjusted operating margin, which is a key measure of their core operational performance, has steadily climbed, reaching 31.5% in 2024.
31.5%. That's pretty high for a services firm.
It is. And this represented a substantial 90 basis point improvement over the prior year's combined baseline, even after factoring in the NFP acquisition.
That's a strong improvement. What exactly is driving that margin expansion? Is it just cutting costs or something more strategic and sustainable?
It's definitely more strategic and sustainable. The expansion is largely attributed to several key factors. Firstly, they benefit from scale benefits derived from their Aon Business Services, or ABS, platform.
ABS, okay.
What's that involve? Think of ABS as their highly streamlined and automated back office functions, everything from client onboarding and data management to claims processing standardized across all their 120 plus countries. This not only drives down operational costs, but ensures a consistent, high quality service experience no matter where the client is located.
Efficiency through standardization.
Exactly. Secondly, they engage in ongoing portfolio management, which means strategically shifting their business mix towards higher margin services and geographies, naturally boosting overall profitability.
Makes sense.
And as we mentioned, their return on equity stands out at that exceptional 50.9%. While their capital structure influences this, it strongly indicates highly effective profit generation from their equity base, particularly given their capital light model. Management also emphasizes return on invested capital, or ROIC, as a guiding metric for their capital allocation, showing a deep focus on truly value-accretive investments.
Moving from profitability to the lifeblood of any business.
Yep.
How does Aon fare in terms of generating free cash flow? Is it as strong and predictable as their revenue?
Strong and predictable free cash flow, or FCF, is indeed a cornerstone of Aon's financial strength, and it's remarkably consistent. They consistently convert a very high percentage of their net income into FCF.
Meaning the profit is real cash, not just on paper.
Precisely. It indicates that their profits aren't just accounting entries, they're real cash. In 2024, for instance, they generated a substantial $2.8 billion in FCF, driven by solid operating income growth and very effective working capital management. Their business model is quite capital light, meaning they don't need to plow billions back into physical assets each year, which helps convert more earnings into free cash.
And what's the outlook for their cash generation going forward? Are they signaling continued strength?
Absolutely. Management has shown strong confidence in their future cash-generating capabilities. As part of their forward-looking 3x3 plan, they've publicly targeted impressive double-digit compound annual growth in free cash flow from 2023 to 2026.
Double-digit FCF growth. That's ambitious.
It is. This is a very clear and ambitious signal of their expectations for continued operational efficiency and robust cash generation, which is crucial for funding their capital allocation strategies we'll get into.
Let's quickly consolidate these critical financial metrics. Looking at the period from 2020 to 2024, what does the overall trajectory tell us about Aon's financial health and strategic execution?
Over that five-year period, we see a powerful and consistent upward trajectory. Total revenue climbed significantly from around $11 billion in 2020 to nearly $15.7 billion in 2024, notably boosted by that NFP acquisition.
Yeah.
Organic revenue growth has been remarkably stable in the mid-single digits, showcasing resilience. Adjusted operating margin has seen steady expansion from 28.2% to 31.5%, underscoring efficiency gains.
Earnings per share.
Adjusted earnings per share, or EPS, has shown consistent growth from $9.89 to $15.79, benefiting from both operational improvements and capital allocation. And free cash flow has remained strong and stable, ranging from $2.2 billion to nearly $3 billion.
So what does this tell you, the listener?
What this tells you is that Aon is a highly resilient, incredibly efficient business with a clear and effective growth strategy. It's not just growing, It's growing profitably, expanding its margins, and generating significant, reliable cash flow year after year.
That's a truly solid financial picture.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about how Aon uses that financial strength, specifically its capital allocation strategy. How do they prioritize returning value to shareholders versus investing for the future, and what guides those decisions?
Well, Aon's management employs a very disciplined and decidedly shareholder-focused capital allocation strategy. Their strong and predictable free cash flow gives them significant flexibility to pursue parallel priorities, reinvesting wisely in the business for long-term growth and consistently returning excess capital to
And
shareholders.
what's guiding the decisions?
Critically, these decisions are explicitly guided by maximizing return on invested capital, ROIC, ensuring that every dollar they allocate is working hard to create value.
And a core pillar of that strategy, as we hinted earlier, seems to be share repurchases. How aggressive is Aon's buyback program, and how significant is its impact?
Share repurchases are absolutely the foundation of Aon's capital return program. They have a long and consistent history of systematically reducing their outstanding share count, which provides a significant and direct tailwind to earnings per share growth.
How much are we talking?
Over the past decade alone, from 2014 to 2024, Aon returned approximately $25 billion to shareholders, with the vast majority of that coming through buybacks. To put that in perspective, $1 billion was repurchased in 2024 alone.
$25 billion over a decade. That's a massive amount of capital returned. What kind of impact has this aggressive buyback activity had on their EPS growth, and what's the implication for investors?
This aggressive buyback activity has been a truly critical driver of Aon's overall financial performance, and specifically its earnings per share growth. The consistent reduction in the number of shares outstanding allows EPS to grow at a faster rate than net income alone.
Financial engineering, essentially.
You could call it that, but it's effective. This is a key reason for the company's impressive 11% compound annual growth rate in EPS since 2014. It's crucial for you, the investor, to recognize that this level of EPS growth isn't solely from operational improvements. It's significantly amplified by this deliberate capital allocation choice.
And its sustainability depends on?
Its sustainability, of course, relies entirely on their continued generation of robust free cash flow.
Beyond these substantial buybacks, how do dividends factor into their capital return strategy? Are they also a priority?
While definitely secondary to buybacks in terms of total capital deployed, Aon maintains a policy of paying a reliable and consistently growing dividend. They have a multi-year track record of increasing their dividend, and in 2024, they announced a 10% increase in their quarterly cash dividend.
So signaling confidence.
Exactly. This consistent growth in dividends signals management's confidence in the long-term, stable, cash-generating power of the business, even as they prioritize buybacks.
So shareholder returns are clearly a high priority. What about acquisitions? How does that strategy fit into their overall capital allocation, and what kind of M&A do they typically pursue?
Aon uses mergers and acquisitions to strategically supplement its organic growth, expand capabilities, and efficiently enter new markets. They generally employ a programmatic approach to smaller, what they call tuck-in acquisitions.
Tuck-ins, meaning smaller deals.
Yeah, designed to enhance specific offerings in high-priority areas. For instance, in 2024, they acquired Delta Assurances in France and Global Insurance Brokers in India, expanding their market capabilities in those regions. These are targeted, strategic additions that bolster their existing businesses.
But the NFP acquisition we mentioned earlier, that sounds like it was much more than a tuck-in. Was that a different category of M&A for Aon?
Absolutely. The NFP acquisition, announced in late 2023, represents a significant strategic departure and a truly transformational M&A deal for Aon. This was a large-scale transaction specifically designed to rapidly accelerate Aon's presence in the highly attractive and fragmented middle market segment.
An area they wanted to grow in?
Exactly, an area where they previously faced strong competition. The successful integration of NFP is now a top management priority, with the clear goal of delivering substantial targeted revenue and cost synergies. It's a bold move to capture a larger, underserved market segment.
And finally, how do they balance these capital-intensive strategies, like aggressive buybacks and large acquisitions, with maintaining a strong, flexible financial position? Their balance sheet.
That balance is critical, and Aon is committed to preserving its investment-grade credit ratings. Currently A from S&P, Badge from Moody's, and BBB Plus from Fitch.
Why is that so important?
Maintaining these strong ratings is essential because it provides them with reliable, cost-effective access to capital markets. This, in turn, ensures the financial flexibility needed to fund strategic initiatives, whether it's large-scale M&A or continued substantial capital returns, all while managing their debt levels prudently. It's all about ensuring long-term financial health and agility to seize opportunities.
We've covered Aon's solid foundation and sophisticated financial strategy. Now let's turn to the recent past and the pivotal events shaping its near-term future, particularly from 2023 to 2025. It seems impossible to talk about Aon without discussing the specter of the failed Willis Towers Watson merger. What exactly happened there, and what was the ripple effect?
You're right. That was a truly defining moment in Aon's recent history and really in the broader industry. In July 2021, Aon terminated its massive planned $30 billion merger agreement with Willis Towers Watson.
Pull the plug. Why?
This dramatic reversal came after the U.S. Department of Justice, or DOJ, filed an antitrust lawsuit to block the deal.
And what was the DOJ's primary concern? Why did they see this merger as problematic?
The DOJ argued that combining two of the big three global insurance brokers would create what they explicitly called a broken behemoth.
Behemoth, okay.
Their core concern was that this would substantially lessen competition in five key product markets for large American companies, ultimately leading to potentially higher prices, fewer choices, and reduced innovation for clients who rely on these critical services. They essentially believed it would give the combined entity too much market power.
So a $30 billion deal just evaporates, leading to Aon paying a significant breakup fee. What were the broader implications of this failure for Aon and the competitive landscape?
The implications were indeed significant and far-reaching. For Aon, they had to pay WTW a substantial $1 billion breakup fee.
Ouch.
$1 billion, yeah. More strategically, the failure forced Aon to completely abandon its immediate plan to become the undisputed largest broker globally and instead forced a critical refocus on a standalone growth strategy.
And for the competition.
For its competitors, it also dramatically shifted the landscape. WTW received that significant capital infusion and embarked on its own strategic realignment. Arthur J. Gallagher, which had been slated to acquire a significant portfolio of divested assets from the proposed Aon-WTW combination, saw that opportunity disappear. In essence, it reset the entire competitive playing field and forced all major players to rethink their growth strategies.
That brings us directly to Aon's strategic pivot post-merger, specifically its 3x3 plan and the NFP acquisition we discussed earlier. How did Aon respond to this massive setback, and what was the new blueprint for growth?
In the wake of the failed merger, Aon's management aggressively promoted its organic Aon United growth strategy through what they unveiled as their 3x3 plan.
The 3x3 plan. What are the three pillars?
This plan centers on three core commitments. First, unlocking new integrated solutions by further leveraging its risk capital and human capital structure in that holistic way. Second, expanding the Aon client leadership model to deepen relationships with its largest enterprise clients and become an even more indispensable partner. And third, accelerating Aon Business Services, ABS, to drive operational efficiency, standardize service delivery globally, and enable next-generation analytical tools.
So focusing inward on execution.
Exactly. It was a clear signal of focusing on internal strengths and disciplined execution.
And the NFP acquisition, which we've touched on, is that the crowning jewel of this new 3x3 plan?
Absolutely. The December 2023 acquisition of NFP is the most significant and decisive strategic action taken under this 3x3 plan. It marks a bold and deliberate move by Aon to build a leading position in the large, attractive, and historically fragmented middle market segment.
Going after that mid-market space.
Precisely. Providing a comprehensive suite of risk, benefits, wealth, and retirement plan advisory services. Integration of NFP is undeniably a key focus for 2025, and management is reporting strong progress towards achieving its targeted revenue and cost synergies, signaling confidence in this ambitious expansion.
So a major strategic adjustment after a big deal fell through,
right,
followed by a bold acquisition. Amidst all these internal changes, how is Aon navigating the broader macroeconomic and market environment? What are the external forces at play?
Well, it's navigating a period of significant global uncertainty, which presents both challenges and opportunities. The interest rate environment, for example, has a dual impact on their business.
How so?
While higher rates have historically boosted fiduciary investment income on client funds that Aon temporarily holds.
And afloat.
Right. Anticipated declines in rates could pressure the investment income of its insurer partners. This might, in turn, force insurers to focus more intently on underwriting profitability, which could then influence overall market pricing and available capacity for coverage.
And what about the very real global events we're seeing, like conflicts and trade tensions? How do those impact Aon?
Economic and geopolitical uncertainty, specifically conflicts in the Middle East and Ukraine, along with ongoing global trade tensions and tariffs, creates an incredibly complex and heightened risk landscape for Aon's clients.
Which means more demand for their services.
Yes. This pervasive volatility naturally drives increased demand for Aon's expert advisory and risk management services. However, it also contributes to broader challenges like claims inflation, particularly in property and auto lines, and puts significant strain on global supply chains, requiring more sophisticated risk transfer solutions. Then there are the insurance market conditions themselves. While 2024 and early 2025 generally saw moderating or even softening prices in many lines, what Aon called a window of opportunity for clients.
A buyer's market, maybe?
To some extent, a chance to potentially secure better terms. However, Aon has cautioned that this trend is fragile and could reverse quickly. Yeah, a major catastrophic event or a shift in insurer risk appetite could rapidly swing the market back to a harder environment with rising premiums. So Aon is operating within a constantly shifting and uncertain external environment.
Aon's clearly been very busy, both defensively after the failed merger and offensively with the NFP acquisition and the 3x3 plan. Let's look ahead. What are the key growth opportunities and strategic initiatives they're pursuing to ensure long-term success and deepen that competitive moat?
Aon is actively investing in several core areas to drive sustainable long-term growth, and one of the biggest is certainly digital transformation and technology investment.
Makes sense in today's world.
Absolutely. They're making significant multi-year investments in data, advanced analytics, and cutting-edge technology with the explicit goal of building a truly durable competitive advantage and transforming how they deliver value.
And this ties back to the Aon Business Services platform we heard about earlier. How is technology fundamentally changing their operations?
Exactly. Aon Business Services, ABS, is a core pillar of their 3x3 plan. It involves not just standardizing, but also extensively digitizing their platforms and operations globally. The aim is multifaceted. It drives incredible efficiency and improved margins.
Uh-huh.
But critically, it also enables the rapid development of new data-driven products and insights at scale. They've also launched a suite of proprietary analytical tools called risk analyzers for critical areas like cyber, property, and health.
Risk analyzers.
What do they do? These tools leverage Aon's vast data sets to provide sophisticated, predictive risk modeling and quantification for clients, enabling them to make much more informed and proactive decisions about managing their exposures.
And are they actively leveraging AI in this transformation, or is that still more on the horizon for the industry?
Oh, they absolutely are. It's not just on the horizon, it's here now. Aon is actively partnering with leading tech innovators like Oracle, using their OCI cloud infrastructure to utilize advanced AI services.
Like what, for example?
Well, one key application is using Oracle's language service for large-scale text analysis of customer feedback. This allows them to rapidly extract insights from vast amounts of unstructured data to continuously improve existing products and client service. It shows a tangible commitment to embedding advanced technology into their core operational processes and moving towards that proactive, predictive advisory role.
Beyond technology, where else is Aon looking to expand its footprint and accelerate growth?
They're heavily focused on expansion into emerging and adjacent markets. While Aon is already incredibly strong in developed markets, they see significant untapped opportunities in emerging geographic markets, such as Latin America, Asia, and Eastern Europe.
Where insurance is still growing faster.
Exactly. Here, rising insurance penetration rates and robust economic growth offer a long runway for expansion. Their unparalleled global network is a key advantage for serving multinational clients who are also expanding into these regions.
And the NFP acquisition we discussed, does that fit directly into this expansion strategy as well?
Yes, the NFP acquisition is absolutely critical for their middle market expansion. It's Aon's most significant strategic initiative to capture a larger share of this attractive, fast-growing, and highly profitable segment. NFP provides immediate scale, a deeply embedded client base, and a strong distribution network to compete much more effectively in an area where Aon historically had less presence.
Okay. And any other new areas?
They've also established a dedicated team for the digital economy, specifically providing bespoke, data-driven solutions for high-growth companies in rapidly evolving sectors like future mobility, platform marketplaces, and the future of work.
So companies facing totally new kinds of risks.
Precisely. These companies face unique, often uncharted risks, from intellectual property protection to complex regulatory and reputational damages, and Aon is building tailored solutions for them.
So that covers expanding their reach geographically and by client segment. What about innovating brand new service offerings, going beyond traditional brokerage for existing and new clients?
That's another major area of strategic focus for Aon. With cyber risk services, for instance, as threats become increasingly sophisticated and pervasive, Aon is expanding beyond traditional insurance brokerage.
More than just placing a cyber policy.
Much more. They now offer a full suite of cyber resilience services, including proactive risk assessment, comprehensive mitigation consulting, rapid incident response planning, and recovery support. They're effectively becoming an end-to-end cybersecurity partner.
Okay. What else? Climate and ESG.
Yes. They are also a recognized leader in climate risk and ESG analytics and advisory. They help clients model both physical and transition risks associated with climate change, develop robust resilience strategies, and navigate the increasingly complex ESG environmental, social, and governance regulatory landscape.
And you mentioned innovative insurance solutions there.
Right. This includes innovative solutions like parametric insurance, which is fascinating because instead of claiming damages after an event, it pays out automatically if a predefined trigger event occurs, like wind speed hitting a certain threshold or rainfall exceeding a specific amount.
So faster payouts, less hassle.
Exactly. It simplifies and accelerates claims payouts significantly.
And finally, intellectual property protection. That feels like a very specialized and forward-looking area.
It is, and it's becoming incredibly important as intangible assets represent a larger and larger component of corporate value today. Aon is developing sophisticated intellectual property IP solutions to help clients not only value and protect these intangible assets, but also to finance them.
Finance them.
This includes facilitating complex IP-backed lending transactions, enabling companies to unlock capital from their most valuable yet often overlooked assets like patents or brands. So they're truly pushing the boundaries of what a professional services firm can offer, moving into areas that redefine risk and value.
So Aon has incredibly impressive growth strategies and initiatives, clearly positioning itself for the future. But no company operates without facing significant risks. Let's shift our focus to the potential headwinds and risk factors that Aon must contend with. What are the key regulatory and compliance risks they're particularly exposed to?
Well, given Aon's central position in global commerce and its role as a holder of vast amounts of sensitive client data, regulatory and compliance risks are significant and continually increasing.
Data privacy must be huge.
Absolutely. Aon is, unfortunately, a prime target for cyber attacks. A significant data breach could lead to substantial financial penalties, complex legal liabilities, and severe reputational damage. This risk is compounded by increasingly stricter global data protection regulations like GDPR and others, which often come with heavy fines for non-compliance.
And with their embrace of advanced technology like artificial intelligence, does AI itself pose new regulatory challenges for them?
It absolutely does. The rapid adoption of AI governance in areas like underwriting, claims processing, and advisory services is attracting intense regulatory scrutiny worldwide. There's a growing focus on ensuring that AI models are transparent, fair, and free from inherent biases.
The black box problem.
Exactly. New regulations governing how AI can be used could limit Aon's and its clients' flexibility in leveraging this technology and significantly increase compliance obligations and costs. Furthermore, the concentrated brokerage market means antitrust regulators remain vigilant, as we vividly saw with the failed WTW merger.
Right, they're always watching.
And scrutiny also extends to broker compensation, transparency, and potential conflicts of interest, all of which require constant vigilance.
Beyond regulation, what about competitive threats, especially concerning talent, which you said is the lifeblood of a professional services firm?
That's another absolutely critical area. A professional services firm's primary asset is its people. Aon competes fiercely for top-tier talent, the best brokers, consultants, and data scientists, not only with its major peers like MMC, WTW, and AJG, but also with other specialized firms and even tech companies now.
The war for talent.
It really is. The failure to attract, develop, and retain qualified talent is a significant risk because losing key client-facing personnel can directly translate to lost client relationships and ultimately lost revenue.
And technological disruption. Could someone build a better mousetrap?
It's always a possibility. Despite Aeon's substantial investments, technological disruption remains a long-term threat. New entrants or existing competitors could develop truly disruptive platforms or tools that fundamentally change how risk is managed or placed. The long-term risk of disintermediation, where clients might eventually bypass brokers entirely to deal directly with insurers via technology platforms.
Cutting out the middleman.
Right. Though still seen as distant and complex, especially for large clients, it remains a factor that Aeon must continuously monitor and innovate against.
And finally, what cyclical and broader macroeconomic risks does Aeon contend with, given its global footprint?
Aeon's financial performance is inherently exposed to broader economic and insurance market cycles. A prolonged soft P&C insurance market, characterized by falling premiums due to intense competition among insurers, could put significant pressure on Aeon's commission-based revenues. While their fee-based consulting business provides some buffer, it's still a headwind.
And a recession.
A severe global recession could negatively impact clients by reducing their insured exposures, for example. Lower payrolls mean less workers' compensation insurance and could lead to a pullback in discretionary consulting spending, dampening organic growth.
Right.
Lastly, as a truly global company, Aeon faces interest rate and foreign currency fluctuations. These can impact foreign currency translation on their reported earnings, influence their pension liabilities, and affect their fiduciary investment income. These are all complex, moving parts they must constantly manage.
So we've dissected Aeon's complex business, its comprehensive strategy, and the significant risks it faces. Now for the crucial question for investors. What's the price tag? How does Aeon's current valuation look when we compare it to its peers using common multiples?
Okay, let's look at some mid to late 2025 valuation multiples, comparing Aeon against its peer group. For price to earnings, PE, on a last 12 months LTM basis. So the past 12 months, Aeon stands at 30.6 times earnings.
30.6x. Does that compare?
Marsh & McLennan, its largest competitor, is lower at 24.2x. But Arthur J. Gallagher, known for its rapid growth, is higher at 45.0x. Willis Towers Watson's LTM PE is significantly distorted by some non-recurring items, coming in at 234.2x.
Whoa. Okay. Not useful.
Right. So its forward PE, which uses future earnings estimates, is probably more represented at 19.5x. Aeon's forward PE, for comparison, is around 21.8x.
So Aeon's forward PE is a bit higher than WTW's, close to MMC's, but well below AJG's.
Generally, yes.
And what about other common metrics that look at enterprise value, which accounts for debt, like enterprise value to sales and EV to EBITDA?
Good question. On an EV sales LTM basis, Aeon is at 5.8x. That compares to Marsh & McLennan at 3.9x and Arthur J. Gallagher at 6.1x.
So higher than MMC, slightly lower than AJG on that one.
Correct. And for EBITDA LTM, Aeon is at 16.4x, Marsh & McLennan very close at 15.9x, and Arthur J. Gallagher way up at 22.x.
What do these numbers tell us about Aeon in comparison to its core peer group? Are they trading at a premium or a discount, and why?
What's really fascinating here is that Aeon consistently trades at a notable premium to its largest competitor, Marsh & McLennan, on most metrics, especially that EV sales and the PE.
And why is that, do you think?
This premium, for you, the investor, reflects the market's appreciation for Aeon's superior profitability, particularly its higher operating margins, and that exceptionally strong return on equity we discussed earlier. Investors seem to have a higher confidence in its operational efficiency and the stability of its earnings.
But it's cheaper than Gallagher.
Yes, it trades at a significant discount to Arthur J. Gallagher, which commands higher multiples likely due to its aggressive acquisition-led growth story that signals rapid expansion to the market. Compared to Willis Towers Watson, Aeon's higher valuation is clearly justified by its superior and more consistent profitability and a much more stable strategic footing post-merger termination.
And how does its current valuation compare to Aeon's own historical trading ranges? Is it in line or is it elevated?
Looking historically, Aeon's current trailing PE ratio, around 30.7x, is actually above its 10-year historical average of 28.7x.
Okay, higher than the long-term average.
Right. However, it's slightly below its five-year average of 31.0x. This suggests that while the current valuation is elevated compared to its longer-term history, it's not at an unprecedented peak. Its EV/EBITDA ratio has also trended upwards over the last decade, reflecting increasing market appreciation for its stable, cash-generative business model that's resilient across economic cycles.
So if we synthesize all this, would you say Aeon's valuation appears full, but perhaps still justifiable given its quality?
That's an excellent summary and precisely the conclusion from our analysis. Aon's valuation certainly appears full, trading at a premium to the broader market and its largest peer. However, that premium is arguably justified by its superior fundamental characteristics. Consistently higher operating margins, that exceptional return on equity, predictable mid-single-digit organic growth, and strong free cash flow conversion.
Hallmarks of a quality company.
Exactly. These are all hallmarks of a high-quality, wide-moat business that typically commands a premium valuation from investors seeking stability and consistent performance. It's priced as a high-quality compounder.
But does this premium come with any particular caveats or expectations for management?
Absolutely. This premium valuation leaves little margin for error, which is an important consideration for you. The market is currently pricing in a high degree of confidence in management's ability to successfully integrate the NFP acquisition, deliver on its ambitious synergy targets, and flawlessly execute its 3x3 plan.
High expectations are baked in.
They really are. Any missteps in execution, a sustained slowdown in organic growth below expectations, or disruption to its aggressive share repurchase program could certainly challenge the current valuation. It reflects an expectation of continued operational excellence and effective capital deployment.
We've covered a remarkable amount of ground today, peeling back the layers of Aon Plyke. Let's bring it all together by answering five big questions that summarize the most critical insights we've unpacked about this company. First, how defensible is Aon's competitive position in an increasingly digital world? Is technology a threat or an enabler for them?
Yeah, great question. The key takeaway here is that Aon's position is highly defensible. Its competitive moat is built on a foundation of global scale, incredibly deep client relationships forged over decades, unparalleled market access to insurers and capital, and a vast trove of proprietary data.
And technology's role.
In fact, technology isn't just an enabler for Aon, it's actively a moat widener. There's significant investments in Aon Business Services, ABS, those risk analyzers, and advanced AI are embedding Aon even more deeply into client workflows.
Making them stickier.
Exactly. This transforms client relationships from transactional to continuous data-driven advisory partnerships, which significantly increases client stickiness and makes it incredibly difficult for competitors to dislodge them.
Second, regarding their impressive financials, what about the sustainability of the company's margin expansion and strong cash generation? Can they realistically keep that up for the long haul?
It appears robustly sustainable. The margin expansion we observe is primarily driven by the inherent operating leverage in their scalable business model, the efficiencies gained from their accelerating Aon United restructuring program, and the durable long-term efficiencies created by that ABS platform.
And the cash flow.
The strong free cash flow results from their high-margin, capital-light business model, meaning minimal capital expenditures are needed to grow, combined with highly effective working capital management. And that largely recurring nature of their revenue provides an incredibly stable foundation for both margins and cash flow, even during economic cycles, giving management a high degree of predictability.
Third, turning to capital allocation, how effectively has Aon's management allocated capital historically? And what are their future priorities under this new strategy?
Historically, Aon's management has been highly effective and decidedly shareholder-focused. Their strategy has been defined by an aggressive share repurchase program. Remember that $25 billion over a decade, which has significantly driven double-digit EPS growth.
Yep.
Complemented by consistently growing dividends and disciplined strategic tuck-in mergers and acquisitions. Future priorities under the 3x3 plan continue this balanced approach.
How so?
They're reinvesting strategically for growth, highlighted by the transformative NFP acquisition and ongoing investments in technology and talent, while simultaneously committing to substantial capital returns via buybacks and dividends, all funded by that strong free cash flow.
Fourth, every investment thesis has risks. What are the most significant risks to the investment thesis for Aon that we've discussed today?
The most significant risks are primarily threefold. Execution-related, regulatory, and macroeconomic.
Execution first.
On the execution front, integrating an acquisition the size of NFP is complex. A failure to achieve the projected $80 million in net revenue synergies for 2025 could certainly disappoint investors.
Regulatory.
Regulatory risks are increasing, with heightened scrutiny on AI, data privacy, and cybersecurity, which could mean higher compliance costs and operational constraints, alongside lingering antitrust concerns that could limit future large M&A.
And macro.
Finally, macroeconomic risks include the potential for a severe, prolonged global recession, which could pressure organic growth by reducing client demand and curtail free cash flow, potentially impacting the crucial share buyback program and, consequently, EPS growth.
And finally, Based on all of this deep analysis, how does Aon's valuation compare to its intrinsic value based on its underlying fundamentals? Is the price justified?
Right. The bottom line on valuation, Aon trades at a premium to the broader market and its largest peer, Marsh McLennan, but at a discount to faster growing peers like Arthur J. Gallagher. This premium is arguably justified by its superior fundamental characteristics. Consistently higher operating margins, that exceptionally strong return on equity, predictable mid-single-digit organic growth, and robust free cash flow.
So, priced like a quality company.
Exactly. It is priced as a high-quality, wide-moat compounder. While the intrinsic value is well supported by these strengths, the current premium valuation does incorporate high expectations for future performance and execution, leaving less room for surprises or significant errors in their strategic pivots. #outro.
We've journeyed through Aon's sophisticated business model, its bold strategic pivots, impressive financials, and the intricate dance of market forces and competitive pressures. We've seen a company incredibly adept at navigating an increasingly complex world, both for its vast client base and for itself.
Understanding a company like Aon isn't just about an investment. It's about recognizing how a global professional services firm underpins stability in an inherently unstable world. They are at the forefront, identifying risks before they spiral into crises and optimizing the very human capital that drives businesses forward, from health to wealth. Really fundamental stuff.
So, as you reflect on Aon's remarkable ability to thrive in a world defined by ever-increasing risks from the abstract threats of cyber warfare to the tangible impacts of climate change, and even managing the intricate complexities of our global workforce, it raises a fascinating question for us all.
Mm-hmm.
In our own lives, both personal and professional, how effectively are we quantifying, understanding, and managing the interconnected risks and opportunities that shape our own futures? Something to think about, perhaps, on your next deep dive.